Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Your imagination.
Self-love is the key to find yourself free, to acknowledge all you have come to be.
What if we, what if you, what if I all loved each other? It would be enough. And prophets say without love, faith ain't enough. Still there remains a question. In a world still filled with war, despair and hate, without a piece of food on every plate, could love be the right direction? There is no mountain could stand in our way if we are.
Thank you. if we could choose to love each other. Loving all the partners and sharing the fun, the joy. We continue this week with the phenomenal feminine principle. If you joined me last week, you got to go on a journey, meditation, take you into that womb space, that of this feminine energy, where you could find anything you do. I hope you found it. If you have more, today we have on the playground once again my comrade, my friend, the master of soul mist subjects. Just had to bring him back. We'll let him tell you all about himself. I want to welcome Russell Washington to the playground. Russell, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me back so beautifully. And I do appreciate the invitation to join you and your amazing audience.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to keep calling you. Because as this gets hotter and hotter and hotter, we started out the year with purpose, passion, and peace. Mm-hmm. And we followed up with, as you know, last month with the relationships of mm-hmm. all kinds and revving it up into the spring, springing forward.
Oh, yeah.
The phenomenal feminine principle, okay? And you, and I have to give this, and I'm going to turn that mic over because I want you to tell them all about yourself. But I'm going to say is that when I met Russell some years ago in 1995, yeah, that's a bit, you know, I was introduced to him because of his knowledge about the earth and food and, you know, just being able to thrive. And he loved that word, so I'm going to use it. And, you know, he was one male that I could trust to bring to an all-woman's retreat to present. So everybody, you got to know that this is somebody who can truly talk about the phenomenal feminine principle. But first, we want to hear about his masculine and feminine principle called Russell Washington. Over to you, Russell.
Well, thank you. That's always an amazing thing, a humbling thing to hear you introduce me and many of your other guests. You have an amazing network of people. But to share with your audience a little bit of who I am, I've been in wellness providing. I've been a wellness provider and nurturer for going on 28 years now. And my areas are in assisting people as a guide to help them thrive through about any challenges, whether it's a correction challenge or a challenge of enhancement in their lives, whether they're seeking peak performance. And on the other side, I share and do work in the area of earth care, and especially where it comes to regenerative systems and renewal of the earth and things of that nature. And I spend a lot of my effort attempting to share with people the deep and intimate relationship between those two areas, who we are, who we're being on the planet, and within our own lives, and how that relates to our life support system, how we relate to our earth support system, our life support system, which is the earth. So we are very close. We are in a very interesting time, and we have a lot of resources available to us as a family, but what I bring personally is a long history of study in what they call the academy, in the hard scientific disciplines. I'm trained as a systems biologist, but I'm also apprentice trained in naturopathic healthcare, and many of the mind-body disciplines, including NLP and hypnotherapy. And the list is long, but basically it has all come together in a very compact and elegant system called awareness expansion training, which is what I spend a lot of my time doing. It's a self-directed system for personal ascension, and it works for transpersonal ascension too. That's how I use the same elements when we work with food preparation and gardening and farming and cleaning up wastewater and all these sorts of things. So that's the angle I'm coming from.
So let's delve right into this phenomenal feminine principle. From your yes. What did you say?
I said let's do.
Okay, great. All right, so in your learned opinion, what is this feminine principle anyway, and why is it so important?
Well, you know, I'm just gonna go to the core of it for me, because the phenomenal feminine principle is one of the formative, vitalizing forces of existence. Okay? You know, the forces of existence emerge from, you know, the essence of source. And the feminine principle is one of, you know, it mates to the phenomenal or the primordial masculine principle. And just as there are cycles in every other natural phenomena, cosmic to microcosmic, there are cycles where the feminine essence is dominant in its expression, and there are times when the masculine principle is dominant in its expression, just as there are high tides and low tides in the ocean. You know. One of the differences is that with this particular cycling, they're not as evenly dispersed. The long cycles of feminine matriarchal energies last a good bit longer than the long cycle of the masculine energy. And then we translate those energies through our own life and our own expression in different ways. But they're in its most fundamental level, it's very primordial, primal forces that help vitalize life, help us express ourselves in every way. They've been known about since pre-ancient times. You know, when we look at the oldest historical documents, 5,000-6,000 years ago, we know that the ancients were aware that there were ancients before them who were aware of these principles and had adapted and adapted their lives to harmonizing with them, and that was very important. You know, you hear people talk about the yin and the yang. That principle has been recapitulated in every culture on the planet.
You know, as I'm listening to you, and I'm feeling, you know, the reason for this theme. This theme came for me because, you know, this month is supposed to be Women's Month, International Women's Month, and you know, right as I remembered it and it came for me, you know, that this theme came up, and it came up because in the past years, there's been a shift that's been taking place as pertains to females and the feminist movement and all of this. And you know, for me, there's something about and it's still imbalanced when you are now wanting feminine to be on top. You know, it's like, okay, so can you speak to you know, this whole thing, the feminist movement versus the phenomenal feminine principle, if you will.
Okay. Well, the feminist movement has really been a beautiful experiment in liberation science. One of the many that began in earnest in the early, you know, 20th century. But it has gone through, it has matured and gone through many, many stages, and you can see how it went through some of the same stages that nearly every liberation movement of note has ever gone through. When you have a large group where there's the deadly dance of the oppressor and the oppressed, which is integral to that group, and that dance runs its course, and that relationship, life asks for that relationship to be transformed. We've seen that. We've seen that between the different ethnic groups. We've seen that between different age groups. But it was, you know, what we're talking about now is how we saw it in the relationship between males and females within the cultural context, yes? So in the early days of the feminist movement, there was a lot of anger and there was a lot of resistance from within women, about women, mm-hmm. and from women to everything that represented oppression. And this is very typical of the liberation process.
Right.
You know,
it reminds me of the bully becoming the bully. Okay, but go ahead.
Exactly. And hopefully that, you know, sometimes when we get thrust into the, we don't have a preparation period for, I'm just going to liberate, I'm going to take my freedom. Sometimes the opportunity arises and we just start taking the opportunity to create more options in our lives. And I do distinguish between freedom and liberty, whereas freedom is also a primordial force of existence. It is pervasive, but liberty is the ability to exercise options, okay? So freedom is that urge that comes, you know, even a caged animal knows of the existence of freedom, okay? But it has no liberties. So early in the days, women were so much a part of the system themselves that their own self, there was no self-identifying foundation. That was powerful, okay? Mm-hmm. So you saw where there was a lot of rejection of the so-called woman's role, mm-hmm. and an adherence to attempting to do everything like men while at the same time attempting to deride everything that was that represented maleness. Mm-hmm. So women were, if a woman happened to enjoy doing things that women traditionally did, she was considered an enemy to the movement.
Or a witch in Salem. when they were coming up with all kind of, medicines and things like that.
That's a slightly different thing, because when you look at the people who were practicing the practices that they were being persecuted for, those women who were actually identified as witches were actually a part. But the Wiccans and the women who were really earth spirit mothers at that time,
mm-hmm.
they had a very powerful sense of identity. It
mm-hmm.
was a different problem that was striking them. That was an overexertion of the problem of male insecurity. That was
mm-hmm.
that was at the root of that problem. But when we look at, take for example, going back to where we were a moment ago, the expression of feminism has recently become, let's honor who we are in all of our capacities. That's the freshest expression of it. Prior to now, and I heard one of your promotions before the show, and it sounded like that kind of energy, that let's honor every expression that women bring. Let's acknowledge who we are as valuable nurturers and also entrepreneurs and that kind of a full spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, the things that represented traditional female activities, were thought of as just something that was set up to oppress women. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there were many examples of how that internal imbalance within women showed up in real life. When in the 60s, when women broke into bodybuilding, the attempt was to look more like men.
Mm-hmm.
The whole emphasis on early in the 50s, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, a lot of the archetypal female bodybuilders strove in every way possible, all the way up to using male hormones and things like that, to be more like men. But there was no conception of what a physically fit woman would even look like. That's how out of touch women were with themselves. Same thing happened to black people who were escaping the oppression of a similar thing happened to black people who were to escape the oppression of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and things like that. There was a faction who had lost the sense of identity so profoundly that they would be viciously opposed to anything that represented traditional blackness, Africanness, and there were sycophants to anything that, and grovelingly supportive of anything that represented the white power structure. It's a phase, hopefully, that gets past it, and we can see now with the great strides that women have made in the area of inner identity formation, that has really changed. Now, it might be just the tip of the iceberg now, but we can see that it's broken through the surface, and women are acknowledging themselves as valuable as themselves,
mm-hmm.
powerful as themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nothing that, you know, the whole idea that just because I want to be a homemaker doesn't necessarily mean I'm brainwashed by the patriarchal system.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to breastfeed, or if I want to have children, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that brings equal, that brings partnership to the liberation movement. So the feminism has now entered the public. It has become possible for feminism to now be a generative force in
mm-hmm.
the transformation of human society and the maturation of the human family. Whereas before it was just it was an immature thing and had the potential it had.
Right.
But now,
like any movement, has to toddle and then go grow into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does all of this relate to the age of Aquarius? You know, speaking of age and toddling into something.
Well, we are blessed to be living in very dynamic times. You know, sometimes when, if you can imagine, and the members of the audience can imagine, if we have some water in a bucket and we're stirring that water in one direction, it's going to pick up a coherence, it's going to pick up, it's going to turn into a whirlpool, it's going to form in it, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we change direction, when we first change, before that coherence returns, there's going to be a period of turbulence as what appears to us to be chaos is occurring in the fluid in the bucket. Now, we know now that from with mathematical precision that there's no such thing as chaos. Whereas before it was just a spiritual and philosophical principle, we know now with mathematical precision there's no such thing as chaos. They still call it chaos, but scientists who talk about chaos physics are talking about a system of deep order represented by a certain set of mathematical ideas. We're in the cusp of what the ancients used to call the precession of the ages. Now, we have a lot of, the intercourse of spirituality and science has become very intense. It's approaching a climax. Because now we know that when the ancients were talking about the precession of the ages being our solar system coming into alignment with the different solar systems of what they call the zodiac, what astronomers refer to as our solar system coming into alignment with the different constellations in different galaxies. Mm-hmm. Any astrologer will say it one way, and an astronomer will say it, but they now agree, because we know that our solar system is part of a galaxy which is in an orbit around a supermassive black hole. And what the ancients observed actually is happening in real life. Mm-hmm. Now, the astronomers stop there, and the astrologers take over and say, because we are in alignment with these different galaxies in the cosmos, the sound that we're bathed in, the symphony, the cosmic symphony, changes. The sheet music changes so profoundly that it causes shifts in how we live. It affects us,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no different than if we switch from Beethoven to Brahms, okay?
Right. I can feel that about the sound and how our movement is, we're doing things differently. We're moving differently. Yes, I feel that.
So as human beings, if you can think of a human being as a lens made up of different force fields that can be tuned, we experience any shift in our bioenergetic environment, experience it in a different way. Sometimes we're able to put our awareness on that experience. Sometimes it happens beneath the sensitivity of our awareness. Like if somebody blows a horn, it's different. We have, our acuity for that is different than if a cricket is walking down the street, like walking next to our foot. In the quietest room, with good equipment, you can hear that cricket.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be tuned to it. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's not like this, not like it's not happening. That cricket is still making noise. Okay, so we are flowing into a time when our particular solar system and the galaxy which we're a part of, the Milky Way, is coming into alignment with the galaxy which contains a constellation called called Aquarius, moving away from the Milky Way. And there have been all kinds of predictions about what would happen and all these sorts of things. They may or may not be accurate, okay?
Right.
But that's really what the deal is. We're progressing it. At the same time, also, we're having it, it's almost like many, many cycles are hitting their changeover point, whereas before they were out of phase with one another. Many of these cycles, and this is a rare occurrence, many of the cycles are making their changeover point at around the same time. And when we say the same time in cosmic terms, we're talking about cosmos about 250 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the polarity shift from masculinity to femininity is occurring around about now. The 5,000-year masculine archetypal cycle is now going to be superseded by what will be about a 2,500-year or between a 25 or 30,000-year period of archetypal feminine. So the numbers are even, but that's what the balance is. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So profound change is the keynote of this time. one of them anyway. But because we have also, as within the human family, we've reached a certain apex of personal evolution where we are recognizing our core humanity beyond our thoughts and feelings, but, you know, we can identify ourselves in a way that isn't necessarily anchored to what you believe, what you think or feel, what kind of genitals you have, you see. We are able to identify ourselves for the first time, I think, in human history as purely human.
Wow. That's pretty big.
Which has the potential to open up a whole new way of being, even different from other archetypal shifts in the past, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as human beings, we are now maturing to the point we're having kind of a spiritual puberty, or that the potential for that is there. And with any puberty, sometimes puberty is wonderful, sometimes it's horrible. Everybody remembers. Some people at all. But we continue to mature. But I think what life is calling for is us to move from a dissipative lifestyle, and I'm speaking generally about the human family, where we burn through resources and burn through waste human value one to another, slave labor, sweatshops, throwing away stuff that don't need to be thrown away, beating each other up, using war line of international relations and things like that, to a generative or regenerative or just straight up generative lifestyle, where when we engage with our resources, we look around and there's more. This is like
always more.
Yeah. Well, there's not always more. So at this point, because we're so powerfully proactive in our life support system, we do have the capacity to have our dissipative lifestyle cause great scarcity. And so, okay. But the opportunity is to notice that nature does it the generative way. And we're beginning to emulate that in our industrial design, in our relationships, even in the way we're thinking about making energy. The people who are saying, you know, have a fission-based mindset when it comes to energy, that if we burn it up and it gets less and less and less. But we could have a fusion-based when we combine the elements, and when we finish making energy, there's more stuff to make it with.
Okay.
It's a procreative orientation. It's a generative orientation. And it represents the difference between being a child, a childlike, in terms of, let me say it a different way, because there are lots of people that take this reference from religion, and I don't mean it that way. I mean it from an immature, inept sort of way of handling life resources and opportunities to a very mature, elegant way of handling life opportunities and resources.
Okay.
Where we actually engage with our life support system and act as a force of nature that is supportive and generative.
Okay.
So that's part of what's available in the shift cycles, all of them combined.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you, as a man, how does this phenomenal feminine principle affect you in your life? We'll be right back.
Here we go.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. He'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 Cause there is no separation, cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, cause we are one.
SBR1, Lessons in Oneness by Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook. I am one with you, Russell. Are you there?
I am here.
Whoa. I heard you say uh-oh when I asked you the question.
It was the good uh-oh. It was the kind of uh-oh I like.
Oh, good. All right, all right. Bring it on. As a man, how does this phenomenal feminine principle affect your life?
Profoundly. You know, because I've had my attention on some of the transitional things that we talked about in the previous segment, the question always is, well, the question became for me, how can I be a positive participant? How can I make a difference in a way that uplifts and helps make it work on as many levels as I can? And so it brought me eventually to the whole question of who are you as dot, 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 all the conditional identities that we have. And, of course, one of them is, one of the great conditional identities is gender. Who are you as a man? And how are you performing? What is the history of manhood? And all that kind of thing. And in these times when a lot of the conversations about manhood are of, you know, we live in this warrior warrior motif society, and even if you're not necessarily direct believer in the warrior motif, it tends to affect a lot of the things that a person does. And, you know, sort of the knee-jerk reaction to that is the male who goes hyper-feminine. And so for myself, in many areas, it was necessary to find my own path in my own way. So in doing that, I was able to discover a great many aspects of masculinity which are not commonly known but broadly known, and exercise them and learn a lot. Now, I think in terms of my interpersonal relationships, I've made nearly every mistake a man could possibly make with women. And and in the process of doing the traditional, you know, so there was a lot of trial and error. But one of the things that made a difference for me was noticing that outside of the conversation about femininity in males and homosexuality in males, and beyond the hyper-macho thing, which I think are two sides of the same coin in some way, there is a narrow path which drew me forward that doesn't involve either one of those. Mm-hmm. And along that path, I found that there is an archetypal feminine principle within every living thing that can be touched and cultivated, and there's something that the ancients call the inner marriage or the inner coupling of the female and male principle within one individual. And taking that on brought me to a completely different place with who I am as a person. I believe a more powerful place, a more centered place. And for many, many years, when I move forward through life and relate to different people, their lifestyles, and I can bring that sort of harmonized masculine-feminine essence because that inner marriage has occurred. And we don't hear a lot of people talk about the inner feminine principle in a way that's entirely divorced from sexual expression and all that kind of stuff. That's what we're talking about now.
Right.
It does not have anything to do with sexual expression. And to reach in and be able to activate the inner feminine principle doesn't make you any less of a man if you're one of those macho, super macho guys.
Right.
Both of those areas, I think, represent a bit of a, you know, they don't represent the most profound kind of harmony. It is some kind of harmony, but I don't know if we want to sit around and pay tickets for that music.
Right. And we have a few minutes left, but I really want you to tell people, you know, give them some tidbits about how they can, you know, how they can integrate this principle, this phenomenal feminine principle, into their personal relationships, you know,
Okay. Well, we have a saying that says the work is in the stillness and presence is enough. So in your contemplative moments, and I'm saying this because it's a principle that has worked for me personally, but each person can approach this in their own way on the level of principles and come up with their own, you know, protocol, way of doing it. But in your contemplative moments, allow all the conversation about what you said, what you did, what you believe, what you look like, all of the things, ways you identify yourself, which are changeable and passing, all the conditioned identities, to walk by like you were sitting on a park bench and didn't even know them. And allow yourself to be calm and still. Because presence wants to integrate these all the primal aspects of your being, crave to be in intercourse with one another permanently.
Mm. Okay.
And the reward is an unexplainable joy.
Okay.
So
yep.
In your contemplative moments, then one would just become more and more calm and allow that more and more relaxed, allowing that physical relaxation to become calmness, allowing that calmness to become stillness. Now, once you practice achieving that stillness, you can do it in the middle of a fist fight. You can do it because there's all kinds of dynamic meditations, blah, 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 but if we're achieving that, and then you allow the integration to occur. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't require any visualizations for that. We don't, because it is a reflection of your primal being, primal way of being, primal essence. See?
Mm-hmm.
It wants to be experienced. It knows itself to be whole, but it wants to experience itself in a practical expression as wholeness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's like two sides of a magnet that have their polarity. But when you bring them together, they want to come together. Boom, like that.
Mm.
So all you have to do is stop resisting them. And the way we stop is just to go into the stillness by becoming first physically relaxed, then emotionally really calm. And then there may be a time when one needs to be comfortable with stillness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then,
we have about a minute left, and I want them to know where to find you, because I know everybody's saying, well, who is this guy? Where can I find him? Because I need him to help me.
The coming out party is about to happen. The last time, there have been some technical difficulties, so the Awareness Expansion Training website, which will be called Ascension Alliance. AscensionAlliance.com.
Okay. AscensionAlliance.com. Okay. And how can they
be in a matter of days? Certainly by the time we come back together on the 19th, we'll be rocking and rolling by then. So it's just a matter of days before we're covering some technical challenges and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
What appears to be chaos may not be chaos. So we're lining all that stuff up. So within a week or so, it'll be up and running.
Okay. All right, well, you heard him, good people. He will be back next month, so you can just jump right back in. It's going to be a whole nother conversation, which I guarantee you will love it. So come back on the playground with us. So, Russell, I can give you a big hug, big hugs to you, and I'll see you next month.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Many blessings. All love. All right, so you've heard it. You've heard it, the phenomenal feminine principle. And we'll be back next week with Sherry Marie, and she'll be giving it from a women's perspective. Thank you for joining us. I love you. I bless you. And I thank the Creator for you. Mombasa out.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.